I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
The Jets. Tyron Smith. That's a good move for your Jets.
Yeah, that's a game-changing kind of move for us.
Yeah, it is.
Joe Douglas filled three starting jobs on the offensive line, and those three guys are only going to take up about $20 million. On paper, this is an improved offensive line over last year. There's no question about that.
If this does not work, you don't think that Joe Douglas is going to be gone?
What Douglas has done is taken all the pressure off of him, and now it goes to Saleh.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
This is either going to be a massive success or blow up in flames.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. The one thing I disagree with in that little rejoin that RJ put together so beautifully, I don't think this takes the pressure off Joe Douglas at all.
No, I don't think it does either. I mean, but yeah, listen, I was sending you guys tweets and everything else about people and Joe Douglas, his lack of activity in the first couple of days of free agency. So at least now, I mean, I think as far as that kind of pressure, like he's actually gone out and made some
right. No,
some
I
good
like
moves.
He's calmed the moment. But when you get to week one and week five, it's not going to be like, well, the Jets are 2-3, but Joe Douglas did what he had to do. No, if those guys don't pan out, he'll get crucified for it.
Right. But, I mean, he's also the one that hired Robert Saleh, too, right? So, they all go together. He's already missing the quarterback. It looks like they're going to have to cut because no one's going to trade for him. And then, you know, now he's, like, listen, he's done, so far he's done all the things that he needed to do.
I agree.
To try to put them in the best spot here as we head into the draft.
I totally agree. I'm not saying that he hasn't done very well so far. In fact, I'm defending it more, and then people are getting angry at me for some reason. All I'm saying is that the pressure does not go away from him when we get to the regular season.
No, I think that him and Saleh are
tied at the hip. Yeah,
right.
I agree.
If it doesn't work out, then they'll both be gone.
I got a nice sweet piece of candy for you.
Oh, sweet candy! I like candy.
Yeah. Okay. Do you? I mean, you know, baseball starts this week, right?
I do.
In Seoul. Dodgers Padres for two, right? Wednesday, Thursday, I believe.
Yeah.
First pitch for those games, you know what time they are?
Oh, please tell me they're nice and early.
6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, beautiful.
Sick. I mean, how good is that?
Beautiful. We should have known that.
What?
We should have known that. Remember, we were watching live KBO during COVID.
That's right. But sick. So we actually walk right into the opening of baseball.
I love it.
How good is that?
You know what's amazing is I've been in New York for what is it, 24 years?
Now. You look at New York as your home or Massachusetts as your
New
home?
York.
No. New York, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm fully ensconced in all the New York teams. Love them, right? My kids love them.
Mm-hmm.
The one team that I chose that won a championship first was the freaking KBO team.
That doesn't count.
I know it doesn't count, but it figures. Is that we're joking around going back and forth, and I'm like, oh, I like this team. I'm going to go with them. And they end up winning the championship.
They won the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Is that still your team? Do you still watch them and think of them fondly?
No. I don't. No, it's just like a one-year fling.
So that KBO team was, in fact, a floozy.
Yeah, it was like a little summer loving. Happened so fast.
And now that's done.
Now that's done.
Are you a floozy?
Speaking of floozies, by the way. So Saturday. We had a.
Please don't say anything that I'm going to jump on and now I'm going to be yelled at for.
No. This is not. You won't yell at. Get yelled at. So we have hockey practice on Saturday, and it was such a nice day out on Saturday. We're like, you know, we should go find some place to sit outside and eat like an early dinner because it's so nice out. So we go to this nice Mexican place. You know, has some chips, some guac. You know,
I love
margaritas.
Guac.
Sounds great, right?
Yeah, great.
So we're there, not even joking. Maybe 4:30 at the latest. 4:30. So. We're sitting outside, and as I look to my left, big guy, like big, probably like 250.
Okay.
Right? Dressed nice, like real nice. Looks like he's going to, you know, hit up a couple drinks at this place, and then he's dressed for the night.
He's starting his night.
You'd think, okay? Within 2 seconds of sitting down, he decides that it's going to be a good idea to lean his weight on the shrubs, thinking that they would
hold
him
up. He fell into the bushes.
Through, and then rolled down a small hill into the parking lot.
Now, was he like horrified that it happened, or did he try to play it off as if like, oh, that was a nothing?
No. Took him a couple seconds to get himself up. We're like, oh my God, where did he go? And then he walks back, okay, stumbles around, and I'm like, wow. I'm like, 4:30, like, he is mangled. Does it again. Goes back to the bushes.
Fell back in?
Went back into the bushes and rolled into the parking lot again. Unbelievable. Like, nothing I've ever seen.
That is bizarre.
4:30 in the afternoon.
Ed Exley sent an email in based on we were going to do baseball predictions. RJ, take this into account now. He said, Dave, I'm a trained mental health professional, and I highly recommend that Rick not make any future predictions. His need to be right is too strong. This could damage him.
See that? That's a man that gets it.
That's Ed Exley. He's a mental health professional.
He gets it. My sister-in-law, also a mental health professional, says this is not great for me.
RJ, when are we doing our picks?
So I'm torn here.
Yeah.
Because the games begin
Wednesday morning.
Yeah. And I feel like if there's games going on, I mean, not that you're going to see anything from the Dodgers and be like, oh, yeah, it turns out they're really good.
The Dodgers could be good this year, right? Yeah. You watch the first three innings on Wednesday, be like, you know what? They have a real chance to be a very good team this year.
But then there's a pretty big lag time to let those teams get back to the States and reacclimate. So I answer your question with a question.
Oh.
Should it be Wednesday when the games are beginning? Like, we're all baseballed up? Or should we wait until we have a little more information on
now,
all the other teams?
Here's another monkey wrench into your...
Yeah, Dave's gone next week.
Exactly. I'm not here next week.
Well, you're back on Friday.
Right.
Is that too late? Because then you'll see all the teams play. Then you'll have a lot of thoughts.
Well, how much knowledge are you going to have?
Also, more knowledge. Knowledge is power.
So here's what I've narrowed it down to. I'd say it's either Wednesday or it's Friday when you get back.
Ooh. You know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
You're not going to go on vacation.
I will cancel my vacation right now. No. What I'm going to do is I'm going, because this gets Rick into a pretzel. Because I am, I think, a nice guy, I will allow you to decide what makes you more comfortable.
Who, me?
Yeah.
He's just not doing it.
No, but that's not an option. It's either...
No, the team thing makes me want to do it. And I spent the weekend just researching my face off. I'm ready. I'm serious.
I know you are. That's what makes it funny.
Friday would be good. Wednesday feels early.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So it's either Wednesday, March 20th, or Friday, March 31st. Or no, 29th.
29th.
Right. So it's up to you.
That would be a nice segment on a Friday, though. You know what I mean? Wednesday, we got a lot of stuff going on. Friday, now that we don't have a football Friday.
Yeah, but we have the morning roast.
Well, I know, but we could also have, that's at 7:45, I'm saying, where we would normally do like the football picks and stuff on a football Friday, we could do it could be an MLB.
Or Friday. We could do post-roast at like that 8:15 sweet spot.
I like that too.
Yeah. So, RJ, I think we're leaning Friday, March 29th. How do you feel about that?
I like that. You'll gather a lot of intel.
Yeah.
That first day.
He's gonna be like, Tariq Skubal. He looked unbelievable. Tigers win the AL Central.
He just tears up all his picks.
Yeah. But couldn't you see that happening? He's like, I didn't anticipate, you know. Like, I didn't anticipate this guy pitching seven innings in the bullpen looking like that.
Who would have thought the Rockies are this good?
They're 1-0, and if you look at their upcoming schedule, it's very enticing. I'll take the Rockies to win the NL West.
Had no chance. Zero.
No chance.
I'm looking at odds. I'm doing all of it.
You're doing all of it.
Dodgers minus -2500 to make the playoff.
Considering the revelations that were just made by the people emailing, I don't know. This could get bad.
I don't know.
I need you focused, Raymond, because you might be on my team. I need you focused.
How do we determine that, by the way?
Yeah, that's a good question.
RJ, how do we determine who gets who?
All the research you've done, Rick, I've done none. I can tell you this right now. None.
I could see Rick.
So it balances out then.
It's like a Friday night in July. Like, oh my God, can you believe the Reds just lost to the Diamondbacks? And like, They were playing?
Yeah. Who? Be like, who are the Reds?
It's almost not fair, though.
I've got to keep my head above water with the Knicks and Rangers here. I got to tell you.
At the same time, I wonder if going more surface level with baseball.
Doesn't even sound like he's surface level, though.
Yeah, he's not even on any level.
Okay, let's do this. Ray, name me a player on the Cincinnati Reds.
I couldn't tell you a single one.
That's not surface level, RJ. You didn't even know a player on the team.
Joey Votto's not there anymore.
He's not there.
Maybe the team thinks that could work.
Now, also, a secondary question. Is your partner on the team involved in the picks, or is it just the main guy makes the picks and then the partner's just there for support the entire season?
No, they're responsible for making the picks with you.
All right, so how do we determine who gets who?
Well, is Raymond going to take this serious or not?
Well,
if Raymond's not going to take this serious. I'll
take it seriously. I'll start doing research.
Yes.
How much you're lying to him though, Ray?
What? Why are you calling me a liar?
How much research are you going to do to pick your teams?
I can do some research. I've got some time. Can do this.
All right.
I'll do it tonight before the Knicks game. Knicks have a nice 9:30 pregame.
Well, I've got plenty of time.
Exactly. Exactly.
You have till next Friday. It sounds like.
Okay. So I'll start today.
I want you to consult baseball experts.
Who do you want? Do you want RJ or do you want Raymond?
Well, I'd take either of them.
I think it would be smart to take RJ.
RJ's more involved. I mean, he does the fantasy baseball and everything else. He's locked in.
I wonder if I know too much, though.
You're very cocky, aren't you?
No, I just wonder if with baseball you get too in the weeds. Like, I don't know if going in depth on fifth starters. I'm not saying I know more than anybody. I'm just saying I had my baseball.
I think it's fair to say you know more than Ray.
Yeah, but I get to, you know, last night I'm having a debate in my head about do I, you know, where do I draft Brian Wu? And I wonder if that's healthy.
I think it's healthy. Oh, what do you want, a little cocky or you want to be big cocky?
You know.
I prefer the confidence.
Why?
I'm just saying. That's what I prefer. I prefer a man that's confident.
Here's what I say right here. The next caller we say who goes on Rick's team, he decides it.
Why not? That doesn't seem fair.
I'll take anybody you want. We got callers all over the place. I'll go to any caller. I'll say who goes on Rick's team. That person decides that. How else do you want to play this out then?
I think it may need to be decided by something at random, and I think John Winthrop somehow needs to be involved. Maybe a drawing. Maybe a hat.
Like he's gonna start to like do pictures.
No, like he selects. You put names in a hat. John Winthrop walks in, and he selects. I think that's the only way to do it.
All right.
What we do is we play the pyramid. The pyramid.
I'm in.
So each guy has a chance. So I'll go with Raymond once, and I'll go with RJ once, and you go with RJ and Raymond, and then whoever has the highest score gets that person as their partner.
Things that are blue.
Because the team chemistry is just that good.
Movies involving Charlton Heston. Items you'd find in the kitchen.
I like this.
Say Charlton Heston.
Yeah, that's what he said.
What's his name?
Charlton Heston.
What's his name?
Why?
What's his name?
You got him so twisted right now.
You got me in my own head right now. I'm not.
This is what he does.
Is his name not Charlton Heston?
He's a bad guy too. The things he was doing during the break, I had to basically get him to back off.
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
What? Now I'm confused. Is his name not Charlton Heston?
It is.
I'm just talking. Yes, it's Charlton Heston.
Yeah, but you had Ray thinking that he was wrong. That's what happened. This is what happens.
Wait, how do I get blamed? Because Ray lacked knowledge in that moment.
Because you kept making me repeat it. I'm like, wait a minute. Am I saying it wrong myself?
That's what he does. He makes you think you're wrong.
Well, Ray was wrong.
Like, I knew the Rangers stat on back-to-backs, and then he said something different. I was like, well, maybe I'm wrong. It's a credit to you, really.
Oh, thank you. I'll take that. Let's go to Carl in Queens. Say good morning, Carl. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Rick and Dave, good morning. We're all alive. Another day.
Another Monday.
So
if you make it to be alive on a Monday, that's a win.
Yeah, any day for that matter. Can I swing it to the Knicks?
Of course you can, Carl.
Okay, so I know you guys will hopefully cover everything. The thing I want to, a couple of things. Hartenstein, I wanted to give him a big shout out. The man put Sabonis in his pocket, seriously, especially in the fourth quarter. And he's up for a contract actually this season. I think he's a must keep. Get it done, Leon, please. Second thing, them Detroit boys finally showing up against Sacramento. Thank God. It took a little bit and so waiting on what's his face? Boyan's 40% 3-point shooting. And then after these two games, guys, the schedule gets way easier. So let's just get one more, please, scoreboard watch, and we're good to go. But quick question. I need to buy a new jersey, okay? Let me run through the numbers I got.
All right.
I got 33, 20. You know these players?
Yeah, Ewing and Houston, I understand, but I don't care about those. What are we figuring out? Yeah, get Brunson, I think, is the way to go.
No, Brunson's the easy one. Either Hart or Deuce, man. Everyone's getting Brunson.
Well, yeah, but you got to go Miles McBride?
I would go Hart, then.
I would go
Hart. Right, yeah, I'm going to get a three.
Why not go Anunoby, though? He's going to be here for a long time.
We need to re-sign him. I mean, I hope. Hopefully.
There's no way you're going to trade R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel quickly and not re-sign this guy. 15 no chance.
I have a Porzingis jersey, Dave. This is why I'm a little scarred. That's why I'm asking.
I feel like it's safe to go Anunoby.
I think I'm going with Rick and Hart.
All right. It's fine. I mean, who doesn't like Rick?
Yeah, you love Hartenstein, too. I mean, there's plenty of guys to get on this team.
But Hartenstein, I think he'll be back, but he could be dealt. I mean, not dealt. He could sign free agency elsewhere. I don't want that.
I'd
like
to see him go.
I think he'll be back, and I agree with you. But in my mind, there is no way that Anunoby's not going to be here next season.
No. I would agree with that. I mean,
like Hartenstein could, if a team, you know, walks in and makes a huge offer, he could go.
Right, but you don't have to. I mean, you have to overthink this thing. Jalen Brunson is.
I agree with you. I would go Jalen Brunson.
I mean, the guy is.
Let's break. We'll get into Jalen Brunson and what he is and how important these two games are, because now all of a sudden, I don't know if you're there with me, I'm looking at the 3 seed yet again. It's DNR on a Monday morning on 98.7 ESPN.
Spring training isn't just for baseball players. It's time for you to get into shape and ready for the warmer weather. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to make sure you keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat and not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations close by are available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET. That's 855-5NJ-DIET. Or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get ready for spring with njdiet.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
That win on Saturday night for the Knicks was, I got to ask you, I think one of their better wins of the season. I mean, Sacramento is a very good basketball team. You neutered them. I mean, that's a team that can score. They scored, what, 91 points, and it's another game where you watch Jalen Brunson play and say to yourself, this is a star player in the league. I think the Knicks had three guys in double figures led by Brunson, who had a whopping 42 of their 98 points in that game.
Yeah, defensively, too. I mean, that's really been the biggest thing. Fifth straight game holding teams under 100 points.
That's right.
We had Carl talking about, you know, Sabonis in the fourth quarter, didn't score a point in the fourth quarter. That's a really good player. I mean, that team, I think they average 118 points a game, and you held them to 91, their second lowest total of the season. So you take that and you couple it with the fact that Jalen Brunson, dude, and the one play, man, where he, I know we mentioned this last week, just how smart he is, and maybe that's just because of, like, you've watched the videos with his dad, right? Like, I mean, that's a big deal, right? Like, I mean, that stuff, when your dad played in the league, now he's your coach, like, to have that like cerebral part of your game where you can just see stuff that other people can't, like what he did to Keon Ellis with the fake hand signal, and he turns his head and blows right by him. I absolutely love that.
It's kind of like a coach on the floor.
Well, that's what he is. Well, that's what you want from your point guard.
Of course it is.
Like his ability to, because he's not a big guy, but he's tough as nails. He's physical. And also just like how smart he is, like able to get to his spots. Like he is a pleasure to watch play basketball.
He is a pleasure to watch. And I don't know if you see what Raymond tweeted. He's watching everyone else's tweeting patterns, but he tweeted last night, Jalen Brunson MVP. And he's like, that's right, I said it. I've been with him. I don't think he'll win it, but do I think that he's, like, you have to sit down and take him into real consideration? I mean, yes, the guy is an absolute sensation.
Yeah, he's not going to win it, but, I mean, you take just the definition of most valuable to his team.
Exactly.
Jalen Brunson has to be in the conversation.
Tell me who's been more valuable.
Yeah, but then it goes back to the age-old, you know, conversation mm-hmm. we've had. What in fact, does MVP mean?
Well, it's usually the best player on the best team, but...
All right, so Nick's clearly not going to be the best team. I find it hard to believe that a guy like Jokic
is going
to be MVP.
You know who it's going to be. It's going to
be Jokic or Tatum.
And I also think, I mean, Shai Gilgeous should get some votes, too.
I think that's fair.
Because he's been really good.
He's terrific. But Brunson has to be, like, you can't put Brunson on the list and just, like, bypass him. He has to be considered as far as the MVP conversation
is concerned. And to be clear, Dave, I'm just, he's not going to win the award, and I know full well. I'm just talking about he's the most valuable player in the league.
Well, you see what happens without question. And this is even without, I mean, you're still playing without Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson, and it makes no difference because his return is the return that they need.
Dude, I mean, that's his seventh game with 40 or more. I mean, he went back-to-back 40-plus point games. He's only the fourth in the history of the Knicks to do it. Like, he is a special, I mean, he's, whew, I mean.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
having
a lack of things that you're able to even articulate is exactly right. This is one of the great free agent signings in the history of sports.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, like, in the landscape of the Knicks, like, with how good he is, I mean, at a position that we desperately needed for how long? Like, I just, like, in the effect he has on winning, the effect he's had on the culture of this team, I mean, is he the best Knick we've had since Ewing?
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's better than, I'm not looking to get into the argument. He's better than Randle.
Yeah, he's better than Randle. I think I think the question is
he better than Carmelo Anthony is the question, right?
Well, Carmelo with the Knicks, I think all in for everything that he brings, probably.
I would think so, too.
I mean, he's been that good for us.
I would think so, too. Yeah. I think, can you argue that he's the best Knick since Patrick Ewing? I mean, so you're looking at, I mean, that level of Ewing was mid to not even late 90s, like probably 96, 97. So you're saying is he the best Knicks player in the last pretty much 30 years?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, who could even be in this debate? Allen Houston?
Allen Houston. I think
probably
Carmelo's...
not, but I'm just, well, mind you that the Knicks were so bad for so long.
Right. I think Carmelo is probably the one that you would look at.
Carmelo Anthony.
When having that conversation.
He's better than Carmelo Anthony.
I think he is, too.
I think he's better than Carmelo Anthony. I you know what? I still think you need another piece. but I'm leaning more towards this could be the guy in a championship team than I ever have.
By the way, he's doing all this too without Julius Randle, who's an all NBA player.
That's right.
Right. So,
and who, I mean, right now, who's their second best offensive option?
Probably DiVincenzo.
Okay. And DiVincenzo on a great team is nowhere near the second best offensive option.
No, like, dude, like last night you had DiVincenzo. I mean, they didn't shoot well from three. He had 15 points. Alec Burks had 12.
And that's it.
Donovich had a good fourth quarter. He had 9. And then it's 42 from Jaylen.
No, nobody else got into double digits. It was, right? It was the Burks, two guys you mentioned. It was Burks had with 12.
Yeah.
DiVincenzo had 15. And no one else outside of Brunson got into double digits. And somehow you found a way to beat. And this is, you didn't go on the road and beat a garbage team. You went on the road and beat a really good basketball team.
A really good basketball team.
And in fact, when we looked at it and played the game of, is this going to be a win or is this going to be a loss? Most of us thought, you know, this was going to wind up being a loss.
Yeah, but they don't lose much with OG in the lineup. I can tell you that.
What are they, 15-2 now?
15-2.
By the way, I mean, it's like, I'm like bipolar with this team. Like, they're going to wind up in the 7. They're going to be in the play, and they're going to wind up at the 3. They're going to, every game, I'm shifting, I'm moving. I can't decide what direction to go in. Do you realize right now they are 2 games in the loss column behind Cleveland? 2 games behind Cleveland at the moment.
Right, and Donovan Mitchell's not right. So he's going to miss more time. I was reading a bunch of stuff on him, and he's like, I can't fool myself. I can't fool anyone else. I'm just not right. So
do we go back to the 3 seed being very realistic?
That's where we want to be, yes.
So you want to go there?
That's where I want to go.
I think I'm going to go back.
That's where I want to go.
But I'm not going to, okay, no matter what happens tonight, I'm not going to change off going after the 3 seed. Because, I mean, there is a real chance they're going to lose this game tonight in Golden State.
There's a possibility, yeah.
There's a real chance. You kind of expect them to lose this game, no?
I would be surprised if they won, but I think the way that they played defensively lately, it's going to, I mean, they're in every game. I mean, would you doubt?
No, I wouldn't doubt anything.
Would you doubt them now?
No, I wouldn't doubt them, but I'm not going to freak out if they lose this game today. Like, you winning that game, if you told me right now the Knicks can go 1-1 at Golden State, at Denver, I mean, I wouldn't need, if you told me the Knicks win tonight, I would punt on the game in Denver. Is how thrilled I'd be with a 1-1.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, it's a great start to the trip. You figured Portland, and then you're playing a really good Sacramento team. And, again, great defense. They found a way. Really good in the fourth quarter. Jaylen was special, like he's been. So, you're holding teams under 100 points. You're going to give yourself a chance to win every night.
Every team, every game. And not only under 100, like Philly was under 80 twice, right? I mean, Sacramento was barely over 90. Like, your defense is ferocious right now.
Right, and every team keeps talking about how physical this team is, which lends itself perfectly to the postseason.
Perfectly to the postseason. The only question you have is, does every team that's not bringing that brand of basketball to the table now, do they bring that to the table come April and May?
That's the question. But I think that you could also say that having a rested Julius Randle coming back, I mean, what that's going to do for you as a team too.
I agree. If I get something close to full capacity of Julius Randle, right?
Yeah, which I think you probably will when he comes back. It's just like how long will that last with the pounding he's going to probably take on that shoulder?
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to go around the league, and then we got to get into this Mets story as well. We have more college basketball. We got to get back into the Jets. Like I told you, it's a very busy. It's a great Monday, actually. It's DNR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, now discover BetMGM, the sports betting app New Yorkers turn to for nonstop buzzer-beating action all season long. Take the hard-hitting excitement of March matchups to the next level with a lion's share of promotions and betting options. This is great. Take notes, please. Whether you're cheering outside or from the comfort of your couch, BetMGM keeps the adrenaline pumping with every dunk, three-pointer, and buzzer beater. Join the excitement now with BetMGM. Plus, every time you make a wager, you earn BetMGM rewards points, which means you can turn the convenience of online betting into real-world rewards at one of MGM's signature resorts and more. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Download the BetMGM app today and enjoy March matchups like never before. See BetMGM.com for terms. Must be 21 plus years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You like days like this where there's so many different ways to go, or you prefer a day where it's just one really good solid topic?
No, I like the melange.
You like the melange?
Yeah. I don't like getting into the old, like, just beating a dead horse over and over and over again.
You don't like dead horse beating?
No.
Will you be playing in the March Madness pool that I've put together?
I'm considering it, yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm not going to pressure you. If you want to join, love to have you. If you feel like you don't want to, that's fine as well.
I was a little turned off because you said that you weren't going to give as much commentary as normal.
Well, here's the thing now. How am I supposed to do that? I mean, I'm up until what time watching the games, and I wake up at what time to do the show. Then on top of that, I'm going to be on vacation next week. How am I supposed to give commentary for every single thing that happens in the tournament? It's very difficult.
Maybe it's too much for you now.
Well, it actually probably is, but because people are clamoring for it, I want to still do it.
Well, maybe we find somebody then. Maybe we delegate some of the responsibilities here. Maybe we find somebody that you know that's funny. That can be the...
I can't hand that over to anybody else. So for all of you that are listening, like, what are they talking about? So I run a pool, and every night after the games, score the sheets by hand, right? And then we'll put the order of where everyone is standing, the standings. And for each individual person, I will put some kind of a personalized funny comment. I can't hire someone to come in and I don't trust that someone's going to come in and have my brand of comedy and be able to live up to the expectation that I've set.
All right. Well, I mean, I think then it's on you then to make sure
it's on me. But I want you to understand that every morning or every afternoon the next day, you're not going to get that brand of comedy every single time.
All right. Well, I'm just letting you know that that's going to influence whether or not.
Listen, what I tried to do by starting the segment was saying, if you choose to join, love to have you, understand the parameters. And if you choose not to join, I also understand that.
I appreciate that. I'm just letting you know that if I don't do it, this is why.
Okay. RJ, will you be joining?
I will, but I am old enough to remember when commentary was daily. Now we're talking like once a round. And
that's right.
It's tough.
Then you know what? Then you don't join.
Well, it does make it special. You know what I mean? There was something like, I'm sure RJ has, you know, other buddies that run pools, but this
I guarantee
one was...
you no other buddy runs a pool where you're getting daily commentary from the... The commission.
No, they don't. They don't have any commentary at all.
Exactly.
That's what makes
mine
special.
Mine is genius to me alone.
Yeah, but let's push this out and see where we're going here.
Yeah.
Like extrapolate the life of the bracketology, as it were. If 10 years ago it was every round, every day, now it's every round, what is it going to be like? end of the tournament in 10 more years? I think we need to keep you honest.
Here's the thing. Why do you need to look ahead? Why can't you be like Joe Douglas and just focus on this 1 year?
Well, because...
And know that this 1 year, you're going to get a decent amount of comedy.
Because much like Joe Douglas, we both might be out next year.
My buddy Paul, who you'd like very much, baseball player, says totally different dynamic without the commentary. My response, I just wrote him, I said, don't join.
See, I see what you're doing here, though. And that's exactly why I'm going to join.
What? Because I'm lowering expectations?
You're lowering expectations, trying to push this out the door so you can lower the number to a more manageable number.
That'd be great.
I'm not going to let that happen.
He's going to join in like spades. Like RJ Santillo 1, RJ Santillo 2. He's going to have Ange join. He's going to do a bracket for Antonio. He's going to be one of those.
I'm going to send out one of those. You ever see those full ESPN company emails? I'm going to forward the whole thing out to everybody, the whole company.
I won't accept them. I'm going to cap. You know what? Maybe I'll do this year. Maybe I'll cap it at 100
people.
Nope.
Dan Graziano in. Linda Cohn in. Lewis Riddick in.
Orlovsky in.
Yep, everybody.
You should see Orlovsky's sheet.
I may go five
Hot
brackets.
Hot takes all over the place.
I may go five brackets.
Good. I don't think you will.
I just might.
So 30 seconds ago, you're uncertain whether you're going to join or not. 30 seconds later, everyone's joining in.
Well, I didn't see your master plan. Till RJ highlighted your master plan, now I know what you're doing. And now I'm going to make you pay for it.
I'm lowering the expectations so that I don't have to send out that email every single day.
Yeah, and so people bow out because last year was a lot.
But I didn't do it every round last year.
No, I understand, but there's a lot of people.
Too many people.
Right.
Do you realize the pool that I run start out with 11 people year one?
Yeah, and now it's too much for you.
It is definitively too much for me.
I would be hesitant to show any sign of weakness in your house right now because Alex is ready to pounce. Before you know it, he'll be running this pool.
He can take it over.
He'll kick you right out.
He couldn't do it. No one can do it. It takes a special talent to be able to do something like this, and I don't think anybody really has that talent.
Doesn't Sherry do most of it?
Well, she does the administrative portions, but she can't do the brand of comedy that I do.
I mean, the bottom of your emails, it's getting to be very threatening these days.
What do you mean?
Don't make me come find you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's an entry fee. I don't have to come find people. And I didn't say don't make me come find you. I said don't make me chase.
literally. Come on.
I don't know if you meant physically.
Don't make me come find you implies that I'm going to have Luca Brasi, you know, knocking at your door. Don't make me chase is just like, you know, there's Venmo, there's Zelle, there's PayPal. You can get this done.
I thought you meant physically chase people around looking for money.
That's right. We're doing a
sound like the girl in Wedding Crashers
to get my money.
RJ, if that was the case, I would pay your entry fee to watch him chase you around the studio. It would be worth it.
Remember that one day I went up to, I forget, getting napkins or something? Remember how spry I was?
You actually were pretty quick, which is nice. Because this whole pickleball thing, I need you fast. I need you agile.
Now, I think RJ in a closed quarters, I get to him. RJ in an open field, I think would be very difficult to catch.
I think you underestimate RJ's elusiveness.
RJ, if it's in the studio, you don't think I can get you?
I think he's twitchy.
Straight line speed, but Dave, I mean, he talks a lot about the thing St. John's does not have, his lateral quickness.
That's true, and he's got the hands of fury, too.
Yeah, I mean, they move like you can't even imagine, like fast weapons.
He just stands in one spot and just starts throwing the hands around.
I'll just move my hands. He'll be so taken with the hands that he'll be a statue.
You're like Brunson the other day.
Yeah, that's right.
He did the Keon Ellis. Hey, look it over here. I'm gone.
Let's go to Chris in Staten Island. Say good morning. Hi, Chris. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. Love the show. Just a little backstory on this. I'm a huge Rangers fan.
Nice.
And for my birthday, my friend got me, because we both listen to the show every day, an autographed picture of Rick in an Islanders jersey making a save against the Devils. And it makes me want to vomit every time I look at it, but it's still a birthday gift, so I don't know
what kind of friend. What kind of friend is this that would get you a present that he knows you wouldn't want?
It's a save against the Devils, at least.
Yeah, but still. But he loves you on the radio. He doesn't love you as the former Islander, though.
I mean,
that was part of my life, though.
My friend is a Rangers fan, but he's not the biggest hockey fan in the world, and he, we probably did to get under my skin a little, but I got something planned when his birthday comes around that will equally annoy him.
Nice. So what, Chris, you have a question about this. What's the question? How can we help?
My question is, what do I do with this? Because I feel like
You have a light. You have lighter and lighter fluid at the house.
Don't even say it. Don't do that.
Do you have lighter and lighter fluid at the house?
I could very easily get some.
No. I'll tell you what you honestly do. This is sincere. If you can't keep it, I would gift it to an Islanders fan.
That implies I'm friends with people with bad taste.
Wow. You don't have any friends that root for the Islanders?
No. Why would I keep, like, Dave, would you be friends with any Cowboys fans if you didn't have to work with Ray?
I have friends that are Cowboys fans. Yes.
Maybe give it to your mom. She might like it.
Bigger man than me.
You see what he did, Chris? He just took a shot at your mom.
She's got good taste. She might like it.
She listens to the show every day, so nice. I'll get her opinion. I'll call back on it.
Okay. Yes.
Very nice.
She'll take
Thank
it.
Thank you very much. You're so nasty. Go ahead.
Anyway.
Mention that guy's mother?
You're looking for some place to do it. No, you said burn it, which is nasty.
Well, I was kidding. And then in retrospect, I was like, no, you know what? Give it to a friend of yours that roots to the Islanders.
Yeah, at least it's a save against the Devils. It's not like he was mocking him with a save against the Rangers.
But how could he not have any Islanders friends?
How does he have such easy access to lighter fluid?
Well, he said he could find some, yeah.
That was troubling.
Well, RJ, lighter fluid is, you can buy it in like any 7-Eleven.
Yeah, but he said, he goes, I can get it easily.
Well, yeah. You walk into a 7-Eleven, you're like, where's your lighter fluid?
I don't know. I think the insinuation was it's...
Well, I'm not talking about like methamphetamine, lighter fluid.
It could still happen. You might be an accomplice of some kind of arson.
That's what I need you to do. You can get in the bathtub and we're going to cook some stuff up here.
Well, here's how I want you to watch Breaking Bad seasons 1-5, okay? And then I want you to take everything you've learned and go into your trailer and cook up some stuff.
Cook it up.
Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every single purchase, from buzzer beaters to walk-off homers. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter the most to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. You have anything you want to say, or should we get into a little around the league?
I think around the league would be nice.
All right, Raymond.
It's time to go around the league.
That's right. And around the league is driven by Ramsey Mazda. Beautiful Ramsey Mazda. All right, you ready to go?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. I have a laundry list of around the league topics. So people strap on in here. Here we go. Mike Williams visiting your Jets today. Williams has scheduled meetings with the Jets, then the Steelers, and the Panthers. The Jets had previously expressed interest in Keenan Allen before he was dealt to the Bears. The Texans were also involved in those trade talks. I mean, I know he's coming off a ACL, but that was early in the season, still in his 20s. You would love if he can pass a physical, I would think, Mike Williams, right?
Yeah, I think it would be a perfect compliment, if healthy, with Garrett Wilson. I mean, like you talk about contested catches, big plays down the field.
What a red zone target he would be, huh?
Yeah. He's a
deep threat. What is he, 6'4"?
He's a big dude, and he can go up and get it. Just the problem with him has been staying healthy.
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Because I love you.
Give it to me.
All right, you ready? Close your eyes.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
A revamped offensive line with Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses at the tackles.
Oh, yeah.
ABT, Tippmann, yep. I mean, McGovern, right? Just Tippmann as your interior offensive line, right?
He just got engaged, Tippmann.
All right, you're ruining the moment.
Sorry.
Breece Hall, running back.
It's nice.
Garrett Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Williams.
Oh.
Brock Bowers.
Oh.
I mean, that is.
Now we're rolling.
With that defense.
Forget it.
That is spicy.
Real spicy.
Real spicy.
With an actual quarterback that can play.
That's right.
That would be nice.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to draw you right back in.
But they were always going to draw me right back in.
I know.
There's no other choice but to be right back in. Unless, of course, Aaron left, which he's not.
And thankfully, he is not going to run for vice president.
Thankfully, he is not.
Drew Locke spoke over the weekend about understanding that he is not the starting quarterback of the New York Football Giants.
Daniel Jones is the starter of this team, and that's been conveyed to me. Now I need to come in and push Daniel to be the best he can be, and that's the role that I played for Geno. That's the role that I played for Teddy. That's the role that Brett Rypien played for me when I was a starter in Denver. I've had both sides of this. I've been the guy to push a starter, and I've been the starter that's being pushed by the backups. It's all about making that room as best it can be, and if we do that, you know, sky's the limit for this team.
All right, I don't know about the sky being the limit, but I will say that, and I said it on Friday, there's no way that Daniel Jones is not the week one starter this season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would be interested, if we get Renan on at some point, what he's heard about the concerns in Daniel Jones' injury guarantee for next season. Like, I'm with you. I think he starts week one.
Right.
And I think they would like to draft a quarterback, but if we get through the season, things aren't, I mean, team is okay, but they're clearly not a playoff team. Do you risk continuing to roll Daniel Jones out there?
Well, why would you? If you know week eight you're not going to go to the postseason and you're on the hook for him for guaranteed money if he gets injured, you'd have to shut him down, wouldn't you?
I would think so, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the appetite there is to risk that.
It would seem silly for me. By the way, the more I hear, the more I think there's a real chance Darren Waller retires.
Sounds like it. Doesn't sound like he's fully committed to giving everything it takes to be ready.
And if you see, the Giants now have three additional tight ends to Darren Waller on the roster.
Oh, which is smart.
Yeah. Aaron Donald has retired at the age of 32. He leaves the game as a three-time defensive player of the year with 111 sacks. Over his career, the star pass rusher was selected to 10 Pro Bowls and was named to first-team All-Pro 8 times, which is remarkable. I won't read the last thing that RJ wrote because it's disrespectful.
That's something to do with Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, he said, is he better than LT?
Yeah, it said it's to mock you. He's one of the best
awesome
defensive players ever.
Awesome. For a defensive tackle to be that great, 111 sacks for a defensive tackle?
Dude, and he was he still is a specimen. Like, physically?
Oh, my God.
Like, you ever see that guy with his shirt off?
Well, I mean, the reps that he did at the combine?
It's unbelievable, man.
Do you know how much he leg presses?
A lot, probably.
800 pounds.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, he was doing that. Remember the videos with him training with the knives?
Yes. Yes. He goes down as one of the great defensive players of all time. I don't understand why, if you're great, we now have to bring Lawrence Taylor into the mix.
Well, because he's the greatest. Because everyone considers him one of the greatest. It's like a measuring stick.
Yeah, but he's not Lawrence Taylor.
I get it, but I mean, he's great.
But I don't want to diminish Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald was, I mean, 8-time All-Pro. I mean, Pro Bowl every year. One of the greats to ever play. I don't want to diminish by saying he's not as great as this guy.
What does somebody have to do to get into the Lawrence Taylor conversation for you?
I got to be honest with you. I don't know that it's all that possible.
So I only put that in there because I saw your tweet over the weekend of people.
Why don't you tell people about the tweet so that they're on the same page?
So somebody brought up about...
Not somebody, some jackass that works for the NFL.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
Drumming up, you know, social media interaction. It was like, is he the greatest defensive player of all time?
And you said?
I said, no, it's Lawrence Taylor.
That's right. So, I know he's not the greatest defensive player of all time. Well, let's just take, pass rushers, even. For their position. Is he next?
No.
Reggie White?
I think Reggie White was better than him. You want to say he's on in your top 10? I think that's very fair.
By the way,
top 10?
You said some jack bleep.
Yep.
You know who actually tweeted that? The NFL.
Yeah.
The NFL.
But I'm sure it was some like pimple-faced kid who was like, all right, Steven, and now it's time. Hit send.
Just stop already.
He's like, all right, let me press the send button here. He's like, this Lawrence Taylor may have been good, but no Aaron Donald. I mean, he's probably 24 years old, fresh out of Wichita State. He's like, Mom, guess what? I'm social media director for the NFL.
It's a pretty big job. You think they give that to kids out of college?
I don't know.
That's how he talks, you think?
I'm confident that's how he talks.
Dave said he quote tweeted the NFL, just stop already, LT.
Well, that's right, because I'm right.
There's going to be no change in Dave's mind. It's his Jordan.
You could bring me to Guantanamo and desperately try to get me to change my view. It would not happen.
No, this will always be your guy.
That being said, I think that I'm right. Like, and I got, I mean, I told you about that time I got to a screaming match with Peter King when we were pre-taping a segment.
I do remember that, yeah.
And he was like, I think J.J. Watt, greatest defensive player ever. I was like, Peter, give me. I mean, Peter covered Lawrence Taylor.
Well, I think there's some recency bias, too, as you're watching it.
Now, again, J.J. Watt, great. Aaron Donald, great. Micah Parsons, great. Not Lawrence Taylor.
So what was Lawrence Taylor? Lawrence Taylor was the MVP in 86.
No. He was the MVP of the league, Rick.
Right.
Right. Of the whole league.
What other MVP are we talking about? He's the MVP of the league.
Right.
Yes, correct.
Do you know who the last defensive player to be MVP of the league is?
Lawrence Taylor?
That. 1986. Yes.
Yeah, right. So MVP of the league, which is huge, right? He was defensive player of the year how many times? Three times?
You have it in front of you, don't you?
Yeah, I think he was defensive player of the year three times. 10 Pro Bowls, 8 first-team All-Pros.
Right.
I think if you ask Bill Belichick, he'd probably agree with you, too. I think he thinks LT is the best defensive player ever.
I don't even think it's a debate. I don't understand why we... Because I feel like this is diminishing to all the accolades that, like, Aaron Donald does not deserve us sitting here comparing him to Lawrence Taylor. He deserves being considered one of the great defensive players of all time.
And he is.
142 career sacks.
And that's before they even included sacks. Like, 81, which was his rookie year, sacks wasn't even a statistic.
86, he had 20 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a dude. I mean, listen, there is no shame having Lawrence Taylor as your guy.
No. On the field, absolutely not. Now let's move on. Justin Fields, now a Pittsburgh Steeler, in exchange for a 2025 sixth-round pick that can convert into a fourth-round pick based on playing time. Fields joins a quarterback room that just added quarterback Russell Wilson and lost Kenny Pickett in a trade with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, it's a good spot. Listen, it's a good spot for Justin Fields.
Great, great spot for Pittsburgh and Justin Fields.
Great spot. I'm surprised that he went for conditionals.
If you would have asked me 4 months ago and said, what does Justin Fields get in return? I would have said a 3, a 2, a 6 shocks me.
Yeah, I like a lot of people were surprised. I'd be interested to know what the other teams that were interested, the 3 or 4 teams that were interested, were going to be willing to give up.
I also wonder.
Probably similar, I guess.
Right, because as great as of an organization as Chicago wants you to think they are, it would be franchise malpractice if a bad team said, you know, we'll give you a third round pick. And they said, no, we care so much about the well-being of Justin Fields. We'll take a 6 from Pittsburgh because it's a better spot for him.
Right. All things considered, offers are pretty much the same.
Right.
Where do you want to go?
Right. I mean, you know what? Pittsburgh's a safer spot. You'll be the backup there. It's a functional organization. They'll build around you. Makes sense. But it would be franchise malpractice if it was like Carolina was saying, you know what? We'll give you a third-round pick. You're like, you know what? No, we don't want to do that.
I'm surprised, though. Like, a team like Philly wouldn't consider it.
I mean, I'm surprised that almost anybody wouldn't consider it. A sixth-round pick is a guy you don't expect on the team.
Right, and it's not, I mean, in all theory, he's not, I mean, Jalen Hurts is backup. He's not going to play anyway, so it's not going to turn into a fourth-round pick anyway.
Right. But I mean, like, the way Jalen Hurts plays, the way Lamar Jackson plays, the way Deshaun Watson plays, like, I feel like he'd be a good backup at any of those spots.
Right. Yeah, Cleveland for sure.
But Pittsburgh gets him, and good for them. Speaking of Kenny Pickett, the Steelers will receive a 2024 third-round pick and two 2025 seventh-round picks in exchange for Pickett and a 2024 fourth-round pick. So it's not a heck of a lot that they get for Kenny Pickett.
I don't know. You think Kenny Pickett's that good?
No.
No. Apparently doesn't not a great locker room guy either.
No, doesn't story sound it.
Well, there was a story last year, right, that he denied? That he didn't want to dress if he's going to be...
The third string?
Right.
That's right.
And he said, no, that wasn't true. It turns out that probably was true.
Jimmy Garoppolo is headed to the Rams on a one-year deal. I like this move for the Rams. To be Matthew Stafford's backup. Garoppolo is suspended for the first couple of games of the season for violating the performance-enhancing drugs policy. The violation was said to be related to Garoppolo using a prescribed medication without having a valid therapeutic use exemption from the NFL. If a doctor, I mean, I'm guessing that it's a team doctor, right?
Not necessarily. No,
but even so, like, if you are a player and your livelihood is linked to being able to play, and you're being prescribed a new medication, wouldn't you go through the proper channels to make sure you're allowed to take that medicine?
You would think. Here? Yeah, you would think, but sometimes there is, I mean, there are things that you seem, you know, would seem harmless that you don't realize have banned substances.
I can't answer to this. You can. So you would go to your own personal doctor, right?
I would, yeah, I mean, you do, yeah.
Okay, so if you went to that doctor and he said, all right, Rick, I want to put you on this, do you not run that by either the league or the team doctor?
I got to tell you, Dave, as much as you want to believe, like, that, you know, you have this fantasy in your mind that guys are just, you know, all about winning and that's all they care about, or they know all the rules and everything, a lot of guys don't.
Not knowing it, I think, is okay.
Don't pay attention. Think about it. Like, this is just, it's a benign thing. Like, there's no, in their mind, it doesn't process that there could potentially be something in here that I'm going to test positive for.
It doesn't even go through their thoughts, so why would they ask anybody?
No, right.
So they just assume that the independent doctor or the team doctor or the whatever doctor, their own personal doctor, would never give them a medicine that wouldn't be outside the letter of the law?
Right. They know I play football. But it's their job, not mine, to know what's
right.
What I can and can't take. If they didn't say, hey, you need a therapeutic use exemption, then why would I go get one?
That seems like a real lazy way to go about things.
Don't even get me started with that whole thing. There are plenty of, yes, it is. But there are, I mean, this is why a lot of athletes get money stolen from them by people that invest their money,
right?
Because they don't pay attention. Like, there's plenty of guys, I play with guys that have never seen a bill in their entire life. They don't pay a bill. Not
That's
one
amazing.
Single bill.
That's amazing. So they've never written a check. They don't know anything
don't
about
have to.
That.
No. So how would you, like, how would you know? You don't know if someone's taking money from you if you don't ever pay a bill.
I mean, I guess if you've been taken care of and you don't know, why would you need to learn it? Because it's all been taken care of for you and things are going fine. So I guess that's the avenue you're talking about. By the way, you're listening to the DPHR Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM. Where?
New York,
that's where. All right, we continue along. The Browns signed Tyler Huntley from their division rival Ravens. Browns now have three quarterbacks on their roster behind Deshaun Watson. Cleveland signed Jameis Winston last week and have Dorian Thompson Robinson as well. That's quite the quarterback room.
That really is.
Huntley, Jameis Winston, and Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a really good team. They just traded for Jerry Jeudy. They got a really good defense. You saw what happened to them last year when Deshaun Watson got hurt. The amount of quarterbacks they went through. They're not gonna have that problem this year. I mean, you got Jameis Winston, who you can start.
Who do you think would be the backup?
Winston.
So Huntley signs as a third quarterback?
Yep.
He's got to be the best third quarterback in the NFL now.
Probably, yeah.
I'm surprised that Tyler Huntley couldn't get a job as a backup quarterback.
I'm a little surprised, too. He usually played, I mean, when Lamar didn't play, he usually played pretty well.
I thought he's decent. I mean, this is Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley, right?
Yeah, the whole Pro Bowl thing is a joke.
Ravens Cowboys have released Leighton Van Der Esch and wide receiver Michael Gallup. Van Der Esch was released with a failed physical designation. I got to think that he's probably going to retire.
I think his career might be over.
Yeah, sadly enough. While Gallup was listed as a post-June 1st cut, the Gallup decision opens up $9.5 million in cap space this season, but he will count $8.7 million against the 2025 salary cap. He was supposed to be like one of the great future receivers for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, it just never worked out.
No.
Just never worked out for him.
Raymond, how do you feel about
this? Well, I wouldn't say great future receivers. They were considering him a good number two for CeeDee Lamb, but then, you know, he had that ACL injury and took him.
That kind of derailed him, right?
That derailed everything for him. But he's an excellent body control guy. He's going to make acrobatic catches. He'll latch on somewhere and he'll make a couple plays here and there. But that was a move that had to happen. He was making too much money.
And Van Der Esch is going to hang him up, I would imagine.
Yeah,
right?
I'd be shocked if we see Van Der Esch play football again.
He's a neck, right?
Yeah. But he's had neck issues, like, literally since he was drafted. That's always been there.
We don't want to mess with that.
No, very unfortunate. Seahawks signed Jerome Baker, the linebacker, to a one-year, $7 million contract. I mean, RJ, this is written very poorly.
What's wrong with it?
The acquired a second first-rounder. In a trade with the Texans.
Bad guy. You know what he's trying to say.
They, Dave, they.
Who is they?
The Vikings.
Them.
Them. The Vikings acquired a second first rounder in a trade with the Texans. So here's what Minnesota now has. They get the 23rd overall along with a 7th round pick. Texans get Minnesota's 2nd round pick, which will be 42. Their 6th round pick this year, which is 188. And next year's 2nd round pick as well. The deal preserved the Vikings' own first round pick, number 11, which they could, in theory, package with 23 to move up the opening round of the draft on that Thursday night and perhaps select a quarterback to replace the departed Kirk Cousins. I mean, I don't think we're connecting the dots too aggressively here. That's what they're going to. That is the goal of Minnesota right now. Move up and trade multiple first-round picks to move up in this draft.
Right, especially after you. I mean, after the reports came out last year with how hard they tried to get up to get Anthony Richardson. So, I mean, they're going to take a quarterback. I think everyone's pointing to the Drake May connection with Josh McCown as the guy that they would like. Are they going to be able to get up to 3 with New England? Will New England trade out of 3?
Well, would you make a trade like this? See, New England not getting involved in Fields. If New England doesn't draft the quarterback, where are they going to get a quarterback? They're going to go with Jacoby Brissett?
No, it seems like they've set themselves up to draft a quarterback.
All right, but wouldn't you also think that if you're Minnesota, you would know that you'd be able to trade up? You're not just going to stockpile the picks to stockpile them, would you?
What I read is that they have a pretty good idea that they get up to 4. So if you know you can get up to 4, right, that means you like, whatever one quarterback doesn't get drafted.
Right, so you're saying that we would be fine with J.J. McCarthy or Drake May or Jaden Daniels at 4.
Right, but if you're Arizona, right, would you rather drop from 4 to 11 or from 4 to 6? Because if you got 4 quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4.
So here's the thing now. If I'm Arizona, I have my heart set on Marvin Harrison Jr., and I trade to 6, I either wind up with Harrison or I wind up with Adunze or Nate, like a star wide receiver. I go right to 11, I'm missing out on all those guys.
Correct. That's why I asked you the question.
Right.
And they've been linked to Marvin Harrison Jr. the entire time.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to my original question. If you're Minnesota, you must know you're going to be able to move up into that top 4.
Right. To make the move, yeah. You figure that. But I'm just saying, if you're Arizona, why would you want to drop to 11? If a team like the Giants at 6.
What do you think the Giants would have to give up to move from 6 to 4?
Well, it's going to be, it's going to be probably swap picks next year's first and more.
So you think you're going to have to give up next year's 1 to move up 2 spots?
Well, you're going to get a first round pick. You're going to have a pick swap plus Minnesota's second first round pick to get up there.
No. I'm not talking about Minnesota. I'm saying the Giants.
Well, if that's what I'm saying is Minnesota's going to offer that. Yes, you're going to have to offer next year's first round pick, I would think.
Okay. So, and I'm going to get so angry every time. So all of you jackwagons that are like, oh, beating New England, that makes great sense. It makes no sense. So you might have to mortgage your 2025 first round pick to move up 2 spots to take the quarterback. But great news. You beat Green Bay. Phenomenal. You want to argue with me?
No. I'm with you. I'm with you. That's no.
I mean, you already showed. I mean, the whole question was, will the Giants fight for Brian Daboll, right?
Yes.
So whether you beat New England or not, does it really matter whether you won the game or not? Or is it all about do they show up and do they fight? They fought. They fought all the way through the game, right?
That's all that matters, yep.
So and now, well, I mean, you got to win these games because it's a culture-changing victory. Ridiculous. Why are you laughing at me? It's so frustrating.
The height of Tommy Cutlets mania. Come on.
RJ?
Yes, Rick.
He's not listening to you.
Okay, are you with me, though? Like, they're going to have the Giants to get up to 3 or 4 are going to have to trade next year's first, no?
Starting to look that way. I didn't think when this process began that would be the case. If you wanted to get to 3, if you wanted to get to 2, and I don't think 1's on the table, I thought it would take a 1. I thought 3 could get done with your bevy of seconds, but I don't know. I'm really starting to wonder, and I think the undoing of that, Dave, is your boy, J.J. McCarthy. I heard again.
And I tried to tell you, and you're like, McCarthy's not going to get top 5.
Well, no, there's 2. Are you okay?
No. I'm annoyed at everybody.
So, well, 2 things on that.
Because no one listens to me, and I know that I'm right, and it's like, no, you got to win these games. Oh, beating the Packers. Oh, Tommy DeVito could be the future quarterback of the Giants. No, you morons.
Well, I think everyone listens to you.
Who are you arguing with?
Well, there were people that have radio shows that said that.
Yeah. I'm on my way home listening to radio show like, oh, no, I think Tommy DeVito could be the future quarterback of the Giants. Do you know anything about football?
So, to answer your earlier question, before you start arguing with yourself, I never said two things on J.J. McCarthy. I never disputed that I think he's going to go early. And I never disputed that you were correct in your assessment of him. My whole thing is, and I don't think he's bad either. I feel like that's kind of how it's been. That's how it's been spun lately. I think he's going to be overdrafted. And I have a lot of concerns if you're going to go to bat with J.J. McCarthy winning the job out of camp as your guy. I have a lot of concerns.
The Giants don't need him to win the job out of camp.
Yeah, that would change the way I look at J.J. McCarthy. However, you would be asking him to overcome quite a bit because he's going to play this year. Guys don't get 3-4 years anymore. I mean, Jordan Love did, but that is rare.
Right, so if I bring J.J. McCarthy, if I'm the Giants, and I bring him in as your 4-6, and he's the starter in week 11 and beyond, how is that a bad thing?
It's not if it works. But
I got to tell you though, guys, in those two situations, I think J.J. McCarthy would be pumped. Get drafted by Minnesota or get drafted by the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Two great spots for him.
Minnesota, I think, is wonderful.
Right.
So, I think a concern of his is if he ends up somehow like going to, I don't know, Denver.
It sounds like Minnesota wants Drake May, though. But I guess Josh McCown coached him in high school.
Right. It is odd to me. Is like, if you're Minnesota and you think confidently we can definitely move up and get the 4. So you're sitting there telling me that you'd be fine with any of these quarterbacks?
Yeah, unless they're just...
That's weird.
Well, dude, so they're clearly interested in getting a quarterback because last year they were going to give up everything. I read you the article last week, like everything. So they have the 2 first-round picks now. If push comes to shove, they're going to... It feels like they'll do whatever it takes. They want to get the quarterback. So if New England says no, we're not trading out?
Right, no, I understand they want to get the quarterback, but typically teams have a guy that they want. They're willing to say, any of these guys we will take.
Yeah, they must think like a lot of people. A lot of people on the NFL think that J.J. McCarthy is going to be really good.
And I tried to tell you, and you're like, McCarthy's not going to get top 5.
Well, no, there's 2. I have concerns about you.
I sound like I'm a member of Fraggle Rock.
I used to love that show.
Or a Muppet.
You know what? A question for Mel, who I've reached out to, by the way, about this week.
Nice.
He hasn't gotten back yet.
He will. Concerned. Has he received? Where are we with the whipped cream scenario?
It's going out this week.
So
this is shipment 1?
This is shipment 1, big one.
And it's up to your jurisdiction.
When you email him to try to get him to come on, say, Mel, FYI, shipment 1 on the way.
I will do that.
Yeah,
it's up to you guys if you think this is a good question. Mm-hmm. Where would J.J. McCarthy have been drafted last year as compared to these quarterbacks? Like, what would he have
Why
gone?
Don't you conduct the interview?
No.
No, really. I'll go get the bananas for everyone, and you can do my role.
I would never do that. I'm not nearly as talented.
I think that you'll probably ask better questions. I wouldn't even have asked that question.
Well, I wonder, like, is he more highly thought of than Anthony Richardson? I don't know.
It's a good question.
It's a really good question, RJ. Dave, write that one down in your
notebook. I'm going
to write
this one down.
I think Dave's
I was thinking about this.
No, you think
last
it's...
year's draft, it had, you know, I'll refresh him as well because he might not remember Stroud and Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson. Where do you think that J.J. McCarthy would go? I like it.
I do, too.
You have anything else that I can write down, RJ?
I got nothing.
You know how Dave feels about carrying notebooks around?
An offensive lineman, something like that? Wide receiver?
Would you have any concerns, though, going for... And this is my point on J.J. McCarthy. And I think the Giants are a good situation, but let's just paint your scenario. You're 4-6, very, very Eli Manning of your situation. And you get to a point where... J.J. McCarthy, who didn't have to throw the ball to beat Penn State in, at the time, the biggest game of the year. And that was, you know, part of it. I read some stat, which is ridiculous. I think like 75% of his games he didn't attempt to pass in the fourth quarter because they were up so big. But now he's going to the Giants, and I know the draft is still to come, and you'll address running back and things like that. But Devin Singletary and Jalen Hyatt and maybe no Darren Waller behind that offensive line. Now you're asking him to be something he's not, and that would be a concern for me.
Yeah, but I don't even have to play him, though. That's the beauty of the situation.
Yeah, maybe you don't.
True luck there. Like, don't even play him. You don't have to if you don't want to. If he's not ready.
Because, I mean, you brought it up last week, Rick. Like, Daniel Jones is not finishing the season as a starter unless they are a double-digit win team.
No chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not gonna risk him getting hurt.
All right, Raymond, why don't you kill the music from around the league?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.